Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So what about the mental practices or the meditative practices for helping us see our connection and build upon it? So, and today we're looking at what's called the sevenfold cause and effect. Okay, the sevenfold cause and effect. That means there's seven steps, one leading to the other. Okay, the effect is this good heart, this supreme good heart of the bodhisattva, the mind of bodhicitta. And so in this method, we recognize some profound hidden and very special things. We recognize that all living beings have in fact been our relatives and even our mothers. We meditate on the kindness we have received from them at that time, when they have been our mother. And as a result of this, then we develop the wish to repay their kindness, which is natural. Whenever anyone gives us something, we want to give back. Sometimes we're resistant to accept someone offering. But when we appreciate the kindness we receive, we want to repay it. So this is the first three of the sevenfold cause and effect. Then we develop affectionate love. Okay, that warmth, that feeling of closeness. Then we develop compassion, which is the natural effect from love. Because when we love someone, we see them suffering, then compassion automatically comes. Boom. Natural result. When we see an animal suffering, we want to protect them, pray for them. You know, we see family members, friends in the news like this, compassion, that wish to help and to protect. That comes naturally from our love. Then we develop what's called superior intention. This is an altruistic motivation. And then we develop the actual mind, the supreme good heart, bodhicitta, where we wish to be able to benefit all living beings, even. There's a huge, big perspective, a big mind, altruistic in nature. But that is the effect that naturally comes from all of these individual causes. Okay. So we want to look at first this connection that we have with each other, and that we've all been related to, and further, we've all been each other's mothers. Now you might now start to think, well, this is a Buddhist invention. This is a Buddhist invention, but it's not an invention, because Buddha teaches what he saw to be true from his own experience, okay? So within Buddhism, we understand about the existence of past and future lives, reincarnation. Our understanding is that we all exist on a continuum. We have a physical continuum, which is this body and lasts for one life, and we have a mental continuum, which has existed since beginningless time. The Buddhist view is that we've always existed. The consciousness, our consciousness has always existed, but we've taken different forms. One after the other. But there is this stream of consciousness, this continuum of consciousness. This is fairly common of an understanding, even outside of Buddhism and other religions, other philosophies. Many, many people do understand the existence of past and future lives, the continuity of consciousness. And so, if we understand this, that we've been taking many lives, one after the other. Well, how did we get into any human life, animal life, other lives? We had a mother. So if we start to contemplate these things, what we realize is that we have a profound connection with each and every living being. A connection that isn't obvious to us right now, but a connection that we can realize. So it's a little bit like this, because it's Halloween coming up. Okay, so during Halloween we all put on disguises, and we don't recognize each other, do we? We have different appearances, different aspects. Sometimes they're pleasant, sometimes they're terrifying, sometimes they're funny, whatever they may be. But then maybe at the end of the Halloween party or trick-or-treating, we take off the mask and we recognize the person behind the appearance. So in the same way, right now, we just have the appearance of kind of not knowing each other, not really being connected to each other. But when we take off this mask of there being only one life, and to realize that there's countless previous lives, we start to recognize each other. We start to see that we, in fact, have been deeply connected. Sometimes you might meet someone who you just feel connected to like this. You might even say, I feel like I've known you before. I feel like I've known you. Like, I've just met you, but where did I meet you before? You know, like this. Previous life. Some karmic connection that's ripening right now. And so it is over all of our previous lives. We have these types of connections. We kind of come together, we go apart. We come together, we go apart. We meet again in different forms like this, different guises. We are all deeply interconnected in this way. So we can contemplate these things and come to that realization. I know for myself, when I first started to learn this and meditate on it, it was so incredible to know that that deep type of connection between parent and child is something that has existed even with someone we don't even currently know. To open up that kind of vision of connection is extraordinary. And it brings us out of the disconnection and isolation. It brings us closer. From our way of understanding, it brings us mentally closer to other people. So now, sometimes we say things like, and we're all family. Because they're a family of human beings, a family of living beings. And it sounds nice, doesn't it? Whether or not we would agree with or believe in all living beings having been our mothers in previous lives, to develop the view that we are like a human family is a beneficial view, isn't it? It's a beneficial view. It's more correct to think that we are this family than it is to think we're strangers. It's more correct to think that. We're used to thinking of each other as strangers, but that's just familiar. But it's actually more correct to think we're family, we're connected. Why? Because it leads us in the positive direction that we want to go in. It gives us the results that we want, the result that we want of greater harmony, the result that we want of actually greater love. So whether or not even we say this is empirically true, I'm not sure about past and future lives and rebirths, I'm not sure about all living beings being our mothers, but from the point of view of what it creates, the beneficial mindset, the way of approaching each other, that's powerful. So we could go ahead and adopt that kind of understanding and dig into it, understanding how beneficial it is. That is more correct to lead us, you know, in the path we want to go in. When I'm saying correct, I mean not so much what is empirically, what we could discover as empirically true, like right or wrong, but correct in terms of what is the right path, the path that leads us where we want to go. That's what I mean by correct. Okay, so when we think in this ways, then the next step in the meditation sequence is to remember the kindness, to remember the kindness of our mothers. So we can remember the kindness of our mother of this life, and then we can transfer this to the relationships that we have had. And when we when we contemplate and remember kindness and we are mindful of the kindness we have received, what does that do? It helps us feel more warm, more open, like this. It causes this affectionate love to increase, to grow. So I'd like to read a little bit here from Joyful Path of Good Fortune about the kindness of our mother and affectionate love. So there's a teacher named Geshe Patwa. He's a Tibetan master from maybe the 11th century. And he carried on the Kadampa lineage from the master Atisha, who founded Kadampa Buddhism in Tibet in the 10th century. So a woman once asked Geshe Patwa, "What is affectionate love?" And he replied, "What do you feel when you see your own son? You are delighted to see him, and he appears pleasant to you. If we regard all beings in the same way, feeling close to them and holding them dear, we have developed affectionate love. Our own mother may not be very beautiful or wear very elegant clothes, but because we have a good relationship with her, in our eyes, she is beautiful. We love her and feel compassion for her. If we have the same tender regard for all other living beings, we have affectionate love. With this affectionate love, it is impossible to develop jealousy and anger towards them." So that's important. Because sometimes we develop anger at our moms. Of course. "You're not doing this, you're not doing that. Why are you so crazy?" Why not? But in a minute, we're going to remember her kindness. This is such a powerful benefit of love, is that it counteracts anger, frustration, hatred, attachment, jealousy like this. It gives us inner peace. And it's inner peace of a very special nature. It's the nature of love, kindness. If we improve our awareness of the kindness of others, we will develop this warm heart and tenderness, and we will naturally cherish others. Even though they may possess many faults, we will see their beauty, just as a mother sees the beauty of her children, no matter what they do. Okay, moms, is that true? Of course. Sometimes they seem like demons, but sometimes we still love them. And it's true. It's true, you know? We all know this, right? We all know this. Maybe there's some difficulty we've had with somebody. And so at that time when we are focusing on their faults, they don't appear beautiful to us. But then when we come to a way to accept them for who they are, then what happens? We begin to see their beauty. Because we're no longer focusing on the faults we perceive. We've accepted them and we see their good qualities. So even though they may possess many faults, we will see their beauty. And that's what we're going for. We're going for seeing beyond just the perception of faults. Some of those faults actually don't even exist. They're just our perceptions or projections. But of course, some of them do. But we accept them because we're all faulty and we come to love this person more in a more genuine way. Okay. So I think this paragraph is amazing. Amazing. We can see goodness. We can see good qualities in everyone. So in this meditation and practice of remembering the kindness of all mother beings, we start with thinking about the kindness of our mother in this life, and then we extend it through this understanding that all living beings have been our mothers. It's revolutionary, I have to say. Like, it's very practical and it makes sense step by step by step. But it is revolutionary to develop a mindfulness that we have this connection and to focus beyond faults, beyond the perception of faults, to try to practice that daily. That's revolutionary. It's very powerful. And it goes against our ordinary perception. Okay. Okay, so we shouldn't underestimate the power of this type of practice. So once we consider this in terms of our mothers, then we go on to think about the kindness we receive right now in this life from anybody, not only from the point of view of that relationship, but just the kindness in general, from the food we eat, from the roads we drive on, from the point of view of the facilities we can enjoy, from the point of view of our education, our learning, our training, our skills, like this. We really develop this mindfulness of kindness and try to see that and keep that view in mind daily. Okay. So this is, we could meditate on this kindness of others forever. There's so many aspects to it. So what I'd like to do now is read a little bit about the kindness of our mother, and then I'll ask us to meditate on it. Okay. And then when you find that feeling of warmth, that then stay there, hold that feeling. Be mindful of that understanding of connection and that feeling of affection, like that. Okay. Okay. In the beginning, our mother was kind in offering us a place of rebirth. In winter, when it is cold and stormy outside, if someone invites us into their warm home and entertains us well, we consider this person to be extremely kind. How much kinder is our mother who let us enter her own body and offered us such good hospitality there? At the time of our birth, our mother experienced great pain. But when she saw us, she felt happier than if someone had presented her with a superb treasure. When we were newly born, although we looked more like a frog than a human being, which is true, isn't it? People, look at my baby! You're like, oh, he's so cute. we all were little frogs. Okay. Our mother loved us so dearly. We were completely helpless, even more helpless than a newborn foal who can at least stand up and feed as soon as it is born. We were as if blind, unable to identify our parents, and we could not understand anything. Who cared for and protected this scarcely human thing? It was our own mother. As we grew older, our mother taught us how to eat, drink, speak, sit, and walk. She sent us to school and encouraged us to do good things in life. If we have any knowledge and skills now, it is solely as a result of her kindness. When we grew older and became an adolescent, we preferred to be with our friends and we would completely forget our mother. True statement? I remember that myself. I'm not calling to let her know where I am. Whilst we enjoyed ourselves, it was as if our mother had ceased to exist, and we would remember her only when we needed something from her. Mom, can you pick me up? Mom, my phone's not working, my card's not working. Mom, 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 mom. Although we were forgetful and allowed ourselves to become completely absorbed in the pleasures we enjoyed with our friends, our mother remained continuously concerned for us. Even when we are grown up and have a family of our own, our mother does not cease to care for us. She may be old and weak and scarcely able to stand on her feet, yet she never forgets her children. By meditating in this way, recalling the kindness of our mother in great detail, we will come to cherish our mother very dearly. When we have this feeling from the depths of our heart, we should extend it to all other living beings, remembering that every one of them has shown us this same kindness.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.